I'll be with among them that are mature. The reason for failure is the lack of wisdom. For favor to be sustained, wisdom is required. I walk by divine wisdom, and I'm ahead of this world. No man can operate by the wisdom of God and His Spirit. It's not possible.
You are welcome to Wisdom Series with Dr. Carrie Amirwell.
You are the reason.
Hallelujah. Could you join me to welcome thousands of people to this first service this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Join me to welcome thousands upon thousands of people to the first service. Hallelujah. From all across the city and the state. Amen. Hallelujah. As somebody said, where are the thousands in the first service? Open your eyes. You see them. Amen. Hallelujah, you may be seated. God bless you. Mark chapter 6, verse 2. We'll kick from there. Pick up from there. Wisdom for mighty works. It should be part 7, I believe. Hallelujah. I'm sure you're getting blessed already. And I'm sure lots of you already have the series, the part we've covered so far. Say this, my mind. Say it, my mind is opened for the flow of divine wisdom. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this, which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Hallelujah. It's been 6 parts already, so I've said many things. We say the reason for failure and frustration is a lack of wisdom. Hallelujah. And something very significant we saw from this verse of scripture is that the people connected exploit to the workings of wisdom. Hallelujah. They connected the things that Jesus did, the mighty works he did, the success of his ministry, so to say, they connected it to the flow of divine wisdom. So wisdom is at the root of every mighty work. Wisdom is at the root of every exploit. Wisdom is at the root of every successful endeavor. Wisdom is at the root of true prosperity. Wisdom is at the root of fulfilling divine destiny. Hallelujah. He said, what wisdom is this? That these mighty works are wrought by hands. We journeyed to define what wisdom is. And one of the things we said was that wisdom is discretionary intelligence. It's intelligence with discretion. We said wisdom is creative intelligence. We said wisdom is the right use of knowledge. Like Proverbs 15 verse 2 says, the lips of the wise use that knowledge aright. Right? Hallelujah. We also said that the root of wisdom is the word of God. The word of God is the root of wisdom and the voice of wisdom. And we said to despise the word of God is to despise wisdom. To give attention to the word of God is to give attention to wisdom. To operate by the word is to operate by wisdom. To speak forth God's word is to speak forth wisdom. Hallelujah. Paul told Timothy, he says, from child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. Can you see that connection? Connecting the word with wisdom, with the flow of wisdom. He's simply saying, look, the word of God that you know has the ability to make you wise unto salvation. Hallelujah. Powerful, isn't it? So to decide to let your mind become a captive of God's word is to decide to let wisdom run your life. That's the truth. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 to 22. Very quickly. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 to 22. I love the construction there. You know, every time I look at this scripture, I can't take my eyes off it. It blesses me so much. It's talking about giving priority to the word of God. How you must submit your mind, your hearts, to be run by wisdom. Look at this. My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the laws of thy mother. It's talking about the word of God. When you read that from the Amplified Translation, it shows that it's talking about the commandments of God, which is the word of God. Now look at 21. He said, bind them tighter Bind them continually upon your hearts and tie them about thy neck. Bind the word of God continually upon your hearts. What a construction. Bind them continually upon your hearts. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. Meaning be bound to the word. Have this unusual allegiance to God's word. Connection, passion for the word of God. He says, bind, he's talking about the word of God. He said, bind them to your heart. How? Continually. 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 So you don't say, I used to study and meditate and listen to messages and meditate on scriptures. 3 months ago, it was such a great experience. What about today? He says, continually. Continually. Our interaction with the word of God ought to be continuous. That's what he's saying. Our interaction with the word of God must be continuous. Our interaction with the word of God must be constant. No slowing down. That's what he's saying. Bind them to your hearts. I love that expression. Bind the word of God to your hearts. Bind them to your heart. Sleep with the word of God by your side. Wake up with the word of God on your hearts. Go out in this world. You know, he told the children of Israel, he says, these blessings, these commandments, these words are spoken unto you. Write them as bracelets upon your hands. He says, when you sleep them, put them on your rooftop so that you can be seeing them. On your doorpost, write them there. You remember now, in Deuteronomy. Meaning, put the word everywhere. He said, teach your children. Say it when you're going out. Let your eyes always be on the word. Hallelujah. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Next verse. When thou goest, he shall lead thee. Oh God. The word will lead you. When thou sleepest, that's the state of helplessness, he shall keep thee. When thou awakest, he shall talk to thee. So you wake up in the morning, it's not Facebook that talks to you first. It's the word of God. Is somebody listening to me? You wake up in the morning and the word is talking to you on how to go about your day. You wake in the morning, it's not your mails that speak to you first. No, the word of God. It says that he shall lead you. The leadership of the word. The lordship of the word. He shall lead you when you go out. A Christian is saying, oh, I don't know what to do. I'm so confused. It's been 2 months. I've been deciding what to do. You are not giving attention to the word. If you give attention to the word, it will lead you. That's what they say. It will lead you. It will lead you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The word of God is the voice of wisdom. The word of God is the root of wisdom. Say, my heart is taken captive by the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, we'll continue with what we started in the second service of the other Sunday. Positioning your mind for the flow of wisdom. Positioning your mind for the flow of wisdom. Listen to this. Wisdom is spiritual. We've talked a lot about the spirituality of wisdom. That this wisdom we're talking about is the wisdom of God. You know that already, right? It's not human cleverness. It's not being smart in human terms. No. We're talking about the wisdom of God. And it is spiritual. It is very spiritual. Reading through scripture, there's no doubt that the wisdom of God is spiritual. It's not school smartness. No. It's not having first class in school. No. The wisdom of God can produce first class in school. But first class in school cannot produce the wisdom of God. You understand? Discretionary intelligence. You operate with discretion. You operate with ethical intuition. You don't just do things anyhow. You are guided by principles. That's wisdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. So this wisdom is spiritual. Going through the Bible, we saw that. There was no way Joseph would have known the interpretation of that dream by human wisdom. It was divine. In case you are confused about him, when you go further to study Solomon, I hope we'll get into that in second service. Solomon, you will notice clearly that that wisdom was spiritual. It was spiritual. He talked about microscopic things. How? He described things that people didn't know about. How? And watch this. In that 1 Kings chapter 5, the Bible said it clearly that he was wiser than the sons of the East, than the children of the East. And listen, the children of the East are known for magical wisdom. I told you. Magical wisdom. It's not just academic prowess. When you hear of wise men from the East, wise men from the East, I'm not talking about some university professors, like I like to say. Magical wisdom. In case that doesn't convince you, what about Daniel? You think a university professor who just read things that comes by the five senses will be made over the head as head over astrologers and sorcerers? Watch this. The Bible says the king appointed Daniel to be the head over sorcerers, astrologers, magicians. Why? The Bible says the spirit of the Holy Ghost dwelt in him. When Belteshazzar, that's the son of Nebuchadnezzar, I believe, was looking for an answer, for an interpretation of the dream that he had, something was told him. They said, there's a man in your kingdom in whom dwelleth the spirit of the gods, of the Holy Ghost. He says, they abide with him knowledge, wisdom, and discretion. So it's something spiritual. They connected the wisdom that Daniel had with the indwelling of the spirit of the gods. Do you understand? So the root of wisdom is spiritual. Move forward to our anchor scripture, Mark chapter 6, verse 2. What did the people see Jesus doing? He was healing the sick. He was raising the dead. He was opening blind eyes. They saw him lay hands on a blind eye, and the eyes opened. They saw him lay hands on deaf ears, and the ears opened, and they connected it to wisdom. You see that? Hallelujah. So the root of wisdom is what? Spiritual. But the outflow of wisdom requires two things that are physical: your mind and your mouth. Your mind and your mouth. This is what I was talking about, positioning your mind for the flow of divine wisdom. Do you understand? If not, all you have is theoretical wisdom. Christ being your wisdom. Without expressions in the physical world. Positioning your mind for the flow of wisdom. Your mind is key to the release of God's wisdom. Your mouth is key to the release of God's wisdom. Hallelujah. All right, Proverbs. Listen, there's a way wisdom thinks. And there's a way wisdom talks. Proverbs 10:14. You can put it up. Proverbs 10:14. We're talking about positioning your mind for the flow of wisdom now. Wisdom for winning every day. Wisdom for daily dominion. Oh, thank you. You can keep it. Wisdom for winning every day. Wisdom for daily dominion. Wisdom for the fulfillment of your destiny. There's a way wisdom thinks. Real wisdom has great impact on the mind. Real wisdom has great impact on our disposition. This wisdom of God, there's a way it thinks. It doesn't see failure as an end. It sees it as a bend. Glory to God. It always finds its way around mountains. Job says this wisdom overturned the mountains. Always. Always. There's a disposition of this wisdom. It doesn't give up because of trial, troubles, tribulations, challenges. No, maybe it's not meant for people like us. Wisdom doesn't think like that. Wisdom always finds a way through. If somebody listens to me. You see yourself always and easily giving up, easily breaking down. You have not given in to wisdom. There's a way wisdom thinks. The wisdom of God knows that count it all joy when you fall into diverse tests. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. She knows that the trial of your faith worketh patience. She knows that when patience is allowed to have her full course, you will be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And patience there is consistency. Taking a stand that this is what I believe and this is the outcome that must happen. That's what patience is. Patience, Bible patience doesn't mean take whatever comes your way. This is what I really believe. This is what God has told me. This is what God has said. And this is the outcome I must see. If I'm to stand here 1,000 years, I will stand here and I will see it. Is somebody here? The wisdom of God knows. That's the way wisdom thinks. Oh, you see, the student, that's the way they are now. The student, what are you talking about? Your children are acting funny, having teenage challenges. And you are saying, this is the way children of nowadays are. We don't know. I've tried. I'm tired. You are not. Wisdom doesn't think like that and talk like that. My children have thought of the Lord. Great is their peace. There's a way you say. That's the way it is. Say, boy, you're a preacher. Who is smoking? You soon come to your senses. Remember Jesse Duplantis' story? If I even got into drug dealing. But the Lord has spoken to his mom that one of your children is going to be a preacher. And he said, Lord, who? And the Lord told her, Jesse. Actually, like her, she didn't believe. She said, Jesse? Jesse, the preacher that you promised me is Jesse. You know, when you have like the most wayward in your house. Hallelujah. But there's a disposition of wisdom. Amen. All right, so I believe we read the scripture that 2 weeks ago, but I want us to look at it again. Positioning your mind for the flow of wisdom. Listen, I told you your love and your pursuit of knowledge opens your mind to the flow of wisdom. Your love and your pursuit of relevant knowledge that is already available on the earth opens your mind to the flow of wisdom. Passion for knowledge brings to you waves of wisdom. Because you see, God needs your mind. I told you, for the extension of wisdom, your mind and your mouth is required. Remember, look at this. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Give me 18 verse 15. 18 verse 15. Wise men lay up what? Talk to me, church. Wise men do what? Lay up knowledge. The knowledge is talking about knowledge, acquisition of facts, information, and what is available. We're going somewhere. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. Listen, if you are not passionate about knowledge, you can never flow in the wisdom of God. You can't. If you are not passionate about relevant knowledge, it will be difficult to flow in the wisdom of God. Your mind will not be open. It is no coincidence, I told you, that the people, the two men of God who wrote the highest number of books in the Old Testament and in the New Testament went to secular school. Have you noticed? Moses was schooled in Egypt. Paul was schooled at the feet of Gamaliel. You think it's coincidence? No. There's something about their mind that God could flow through easily. There's something about the development of their mind that God could flow through easily. It's the positioning for the flow. You must love knowledge. Because, listen, there's a principle, and it applies to our walking in the wisdom of God on the earth. There's a kingdom principle that look for heaven to send anything. Earth must provide equity. God wanted to send his son to save humanity. It was all of God's plan, but he needed the womb of a woman on the earth. His church here this morning. Earth must provide equity. He wants to reach the whole world, but he needs a body on the earth. He wants to heal that man, that woman, but he needs faith to be released. Beneath a statement of trust, a disposition of confidence in the ability and in the willingness of God, then he moves. We call it the law of territory. So God cannot really break into man's realm without the partnership of man. Is somebody following me? The same way wisdom flows from heaven. The Bible calls the wisdom of God the wisdom which is from above. In the same way, for that wisdom to flow on the earth, earth must provide equity. And one of the equity, one way we provide that equity is to have a mind that is enlightened. A mind that already has some information about what is happening around. In that area, that wisdom is required. Is somebody following me? I want to start an orphanage. You have no clue on how orphanages are run to. But you say, God showed me a great vision. You have the largest orphanage in the north. Doing this, you wrote them down. Listen, if you don't go and learn how orphanages are run currently, you may not be able to download in fullness what God wants you to be. Somebody listen to me. Equity. That's what we call God's preferred way of operation. And that's what I'm showing you. God's preferred way of operation. Typical example. I think I've shared it here before. God wants to bring the cure to cancer. He wants medical cure. I'm serious. People can get treated with drugs and they are completely... God wants to do that. And you have to believe us praying seriously. Maybe for some reason, there's a law, a medical cure for cancer. Give it to humanity so that people can be saved. Look at the way people are dying. There is a believer who is working in the lab who has a background of oncology, for example, or basic laboratory medicine, or immunology, whatever it is that is related, who is praying and praying for that. There's another believer who is an architect or a CEO of a marketing company who is also passionately praying about the same thing. They can put in the same hour of prayer, have the same revelation from God, an assurance, word of assurance from God. But when God is going to give the cure amongst these two, guess who is going to give it to? Why? He can interpret it. Somebody here this morning. He can interpret it. He can interpret it. His mind is better positioned to interpret it. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh. Oh my goodness. Does your ear seek knowledge? The ears of the wise seeks knowledge. Seeks knowledge, it means to go after. Does your ear seek knowledge? Don't be mentally lazy. I'm sure you've heard the saying that if you want to hide anything from the black man, you ever heard it? That devil is a liar. Say that proverb, whatever it is not for me. Say it. It's not for me. It cannot be for me. If you ever keep it in the book, I'll find it. Glory to God. I will find it. Oh, I will sure find it. Hallelujah. I will find it. Amen. But imagine. Can you imagine that? You say, why is the Western world so ahead? One of the reasons is this. Passion for knowledge. Passion for knowledge. And I told you that critical component of wisdom. We say three kinds of wisdom, right? Three dimensions of wisdom. Number one, theoretical wisdom. Number two, critical wisdom. Number three, practical wisdom. The Greeks believed that critical wisdom is the one responsible for civilization. And you see, that one is not possible to flow in it without having scientific knowledge of the environment. Scientific knowledge of what is already going on. Do you understand? Scientific knowledge of what is already in existence. That is a precursor for walking in critical wisdom. And hence being civilized. You know, recently I did a little study on astronomer, just a little study on space and all that. I was fascinated. I was fascinated at what people have studied in a realm that is outside Earth's environment. I was fascinated. And you know, most of the people who have done that study are guys from the Western world. You are aware, right? Do you ever ask yourself, what was great grandpa doing when Galileo was using telescope to look into space? Glory to God. Glory to God. He was in a farm. Yeah. He was doing what? He was cooking leaves. Cooking leaves. And thinking of how to sell his brother. Hallelujah. But thank God for Jesus, the great equalizer. Thank God for the sacrifice of Jesus, the great equalizer. What am I saying? Have passion for the acquisition of facts around you about what you do. Do it passionately. Don't do it because you need a promotion at work. No. It will position your mind for the flow of divine wisdom. For the flow of divine wisdom. I said relevant knowledge. Relevant knowledge doesn't mean it has to be the area of your field. You understand? You say, oh, I'm a doctor, so it's just book of medicine, hematology. No. No. You have a vision to be a leader in medicine. So, how many books of on leadership have you read? To you, that's relevant knowledge. God has shown you one day you'll be minister of health, or you lead a team that will formulate health policies. That's leadership. That means leadership has become relevant knowledge. Is somebody listening to me? So I'm not just being stereotyped on what you read. In fact, in the American educational system, a research was done that cross-pollination of knowledge had had a powerful impact on the civilization of America. You know what I mean? Somebody is studying law and taking a course in music. Glory to God. Oh, what is so far apart? What's so far apart? Somebody is studying a course in what? Okay, in theaters, for example. A course in theaters, for example. And is she's taking an elective in engineering or in ICT. That may be related, right? Or in what? In economics, okay, that may still be related. In zoology. They call it cross-pollination of knowledge. It was a research that was done. And it was said that this is one of the reasons they believe they are ahead of other nations. Are you following? Documented. You're wondering, so why is Pastor reading book of space? Is he trying to plan on planting a church in Mars? Maybe. Hallelujah. It does something to your brain cells. And has a way of positioning your mind for the flow of divine wisdom. Are you following? For the flow of divine wisdom. I know I'm not boring you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So you must hunger for knowledge. This pulls the waves. Your knowledge of things in time opens your mind up for productive wisdom. So love for knowledge is an ingredient for wisdom. Love for knowledge is an ingredient for wisdom. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Praise God. All right, the second thing we're going to look at in positioning your mind for the wisdom of God is your love for the Lord. Your love for God, your passion for Jesus and the things of the kingdom. Quickly put 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, then 8 to 9, that's verse 8 to 9, or verse 10 to 13. You see them. Listen to me. The Bible talks about the fear of God being the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God being the beginning of wisdom. Yirat Adonai. The fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord doesn't mean you see God as a wicked taskmaster. The fear of the Lord, that construction or expression, doesn't mean you see God as someone who is counting your sins against you. Someone to be afraid of. Someone to run away from when you make mistakes. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about holy reverence. Holy reverence. That awe, that reverence for God. Knowing that his presence is always with you. And because of that, your actions are guided. Your words are guided. Your manner of life amongst men are guided. Do you understand? That is the fear of the Lord. And in the New Testament, was it on Tuesday I mentioned that in the Old Testament, the laws that they were given were classified into three. Ceremonial laws, moral laws, and spiritual laws. Now, in the New Testament, what God deals with primarily with us are spiritual laws. Spiritual laws, very important, spiritual laws. The ceremonial laws are done away with. The moral laws are still there. But the way God expects us not to break the moral laws is by giving attention to spiritual laws. I'll explain that. The law of love is a spiritual law. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. He says, this is a commandment, that you love God, that you love your neighbor. Do you understand? So love is a spiritual law. And God knows that once a man can walk in love toward God and toward men, you will not break moral laws. So the curriculum of the New Testament is a focus on spiritual laws. Oh, did you get that? It's a focus on spiritual law. This is why Paul said, walk in the spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You know what some preachers are preaching? Do not gratify the desires of the flesh so that you can walk in the spirit. It can't walk. You got that. It can't walk. That's what they are trying. And that's the beginning of works and self-righteousness. Do not gratify the desires of the flesh so that you can walk in the spirit. No. The Bible says walk in the spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You will not. You will not. So your love for God will produce that yirat Adonai, that fear of the Lord, that godly reverence, that awe and honor for him and the things that pertain to him. And the Bible says that is the beginning of wisdom. You find a man, a woman who loves God, who accepts his love for God, who fears God, who treats God with, who honors God. Their minds are open for the flow of divine wisdom. Is somebody listening to me? Dishonoring God clogs your mind. It blocks the flow of wisdom. When a believer is consistently dishonoring God with his mouth, with his body, with his dealings in business, your mind will be blocked. You cannot receive wisdom from God. You just live in the arena of general wisdom. General human wisdom. Love for God. Honor for the things of the Spirit. Honor for the Lord has a way of opening a man's mind to wisdom. The wisdom of God will begin to flow. Why scriptures cannot be broken? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He says to fear God, to hate evil, to put away arrogancy, according to King James, is the beginning of wisdom. Hallelujah. And Solomon loved the Lord. And Solomon loved the Lord. You know, our love for God, we know, is our response to his own love for God. To his own love for us. The Bible says we love God because he first loved us. We love God because he first loved God. So when we say loving God, is not trying to make him love us. No. It's a response. It's a necessary response. So the challenge to you, I'm challenging you now. Respond to God's love. God already loves you. Respond to it. Paul said, why was Paul such a great man? Look at the mindset of Paul. Paul said the love of Christ constrains us. And that love of Christ there is not talking about Christ's love for us. No, it's talking about our love for Christ. He said the love of Christ constrained us. And we thus judge that if one died, then all that. He says, so that those of us who are alive should no longer live unto ourselves, but live to bring glory to him that loved us and gave himself. Can I get an amen? You can see the mind of Paul. Loving the Lord. And Solomon loved the Lord. He loved God. And when he acted out that love, he brought forth wisdom. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed the burnt offering, incense, and all that. The next verse is 9. No, I said 8 to 9. 8 to 9. Now, he made a sacrifice, starting to verse 5. You remember? Burnt a thousand burnt offering. He acted out his love for God. Look at what followed. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen a great... This is when God asked him, so Lord, what do you want? That cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge these thy great people? Next verse, just keep flowing. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. What was this thing? Wisdom. Next verse. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thy life, thyself longer. Can you say love is at work? You see, when you love God, you put others first. It's clear. That was what Solomon just did. He loved the Lord. What did he translate it to? He asked for something to help him rule God's people. That was what he translated to. That love for God. He burned the 1,000 up. When God asked him, he said, give me wisdom to lead thy people. He didn't say, give me long life. It's good to watch the men that God dealt with in the Bible. Look at Moses, for example. God said, Moses, I'm going to wipe these people out and I'll make a great nation out of you. He said, Lord, no, your name is at stake here. If you wipe out the nations, are going to say that you brought them out, you were not able to bring them in. He said, rather, blot my name out of thy book of life. Kalabakabaya. He loved God. And that translated to his love for people. When you don't put others first, you don't really love God. The Bible says, how can you claim to love God whom you cannot see when you don't love the man whom you can see? Can you see that? I say it again. The first indicator of your spiritual growth is your love walk. The first expression, love makes us masters. The first expression of the God life on your inside is your love walk. It's your love walk. How do you handle offense? How do you handle opportunity for strife, for jealousy? How do you handle forgiveness? How quick are you? What's your decision as to how to live as it relates to offense? I made up my mind long ago to live above offense. I will not condescend to the level of offense. I don't care what you did to me. I don't really care. It's a decision. The Bible says offenses must come. Must. All this is, I'll teach you on the anatomy of offense. Offenses must come. So it's a decision. It's a decision. So love for God translates to love for people, and it opens your mind for the flow of wisdom. He asks, he said, you have not asked for long life for thyself, neither hast thou asked for riches for thyself. You can see the self life there. Hi. You can see the self life there. God saw that this man's focus was not himself. Three times, thyself, thyself. God said, you didn't ask this for thyself. Do this for thyself. Can you see that? Has asked riches for thyself, or asked riches, nor has asked life, the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself unending understanding. Understanding rather, to discern judgment, so that you can lead the people. Next verse. Behold, I have done makebakusaya. I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given you a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee. Neither after thee shall any arise, hi, like unto thee. Verse 13 and the last verse. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Hallelujah. Opening your mind for the flow of wisdom, for the love of God. Your love for God must be lived out, must be acted out. Amen. Must be acted out. Love in the Bible is an action word. It's an action word. It's very action oriented. You don't say, oh, I love the Lord. I sing it to him every day. No, you've got to act it. You've got to act it. Because we are his bride. I told you that there is discretional love and there is emotional love. You can enjoy emotional love from God. But as far as God is concerned, it's discretional love he wants from you. Do you understand? Just like a man and a woman. A woman wants to hear, I love you all the time. But to the man, according to the Bible, if you love me, keep my commandments. You understand? That's what Jesus said. That's discretional love. He says, if you love me, keep my words. This is the proof that you love me. Keep my words. Keep my words. Keep my commandments. Act it out. Let me see that you love me. Glory to God. Glory to God. So when you love the Lord, you will act it out. You'll be passionate about this house. I've said the first one, you will love his people. You will put others first. You'll be passionate about this house. you will seek to honor him. Making your marriage work has nothing to do with how you feel about it anymore. You know you have an allegiance to someone. Do you understand? I told you about three levels of commitment in a marriage. The least is the commitment to your spouse. That's the least. That's the least. Commitment to your spouse. Because you like him or like her. That's the least. But for some people, once that is bridged, nothing is happening. Because they don't understand the last two level of commitment in marriage. There's commitment to the institution of marriage. Because God put it together for a purpose. That's level two. Number three, there's commitment to the master. There's commitment to Jesus, your Lord and your Savior. Because you see, marriage is a symbolism of his relationship with the church. So when you get married, you are living an expression of Christ's disposition, Christ's relationship with the church. Do you understand? So when you put your wife away or you run from your husband, you are saying Christ can be separated from his bride. Just like what Moses did. Watch this. What Moses did that made God angry. God told him, don't strike the rock. Speak to it, because this is a prophetic order. This is Christ. He will be crucified once. After that, whatever you need, you talk and you get it. So when he struck the rock because he was angry, God was angry with him. I'm hoping somebody is catching what I'm saying. God was angry with him. But Moses, can't you see this thing is about something bigger than drinking water? Can you see now? So this thing is about something bigger than drinking water. In the same way, God is saying this marriage thing is bigger than having sex, having children, having companion. It's bigger. It's bigger. It's bigger. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Say, my mind is open for the flow of divine wisdom. My mind is open for the flow of divine wisdom. And I'm producing mighty works by this wisdom. Can I get an amen? Woo! Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That is wisdom flowing this morning. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to Proverbs 8. We will stop there and get ready for second service. And close the first service and get ready for second service. Proverbs chapter 8. Oh, God Almighty. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. I'm getting blessed myself. Proverbs chapter 8 from verse 1. We'll go to Proverbs 8 to do. The cry of wisdom, right? The call of wisdom. There are things I want you to notice as we read that 8th chapter, Book of Proverbs. Number one, I want you to notice how many times you notice, you see wisdom talking. You see speakings, calling, crying, you understand? Speaking, calling, crying, talking, wisdom talking. And that is no accident. It's to show you that wisdom talks. And the other thing is, you will notice the operations of wisdom. So this part of the teaching is the operation of wisdom for wealth and for influence. The operations of wisdom. You notice the operations of wisdom. How wisdom operates. How wisdom operates. He said, doth not wisdom cry? Or does not wisdom cry? And understanding put forth her voice. She standeth in the top of the high places. By the way, in the places of the paths. Now he gives a feminine pronoun to wisdom. That's her reason. We'll get there. She cried at the gates. At the gates. At the entry of the city. All the coming in of the doors. At the coming of the song. Unto you, O men, I call. You can say, wisdom is talking. And my voice, notice voice again. To the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom. O ye fools, be of understanding hearts. Hear, can you see? Hear, so we can hear wisdom. We can hear wisdom. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things. I said, wisdom is excellent. Wisdom has discretion. I will speak of excellent things. and the opening of my lips shall be right fit. For my mouth shall speak truth. Wisdom speaks. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing forward or perverse in them. Can you see? Wisdom and perverseness don't go together. It has discretion. Wisdom is ethical. No perverseness. No perverseness. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that findeth knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. You can see now, you can see the priorities of wisdom. It puts knowledge above gold. It puts knowledge above gold. When we read for that, you see the revenue of wisdom. The dividend on the investment of wisdom. He said, riches and honor. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Hallelujah. He says, knowledge rather than gold. Knowledge rather than gold. Knowledge rather than gold. Because with who you are, you can have. With who you are, you can have. With who you are, you can have. He says, don't put money above wisdom. For money can go, but wisdom can produce more money. Are you listening? Money is important, but never put it against wisdom. And wisdom has discretion. You understand? So you can never bruise your conscience because of money. That's what he's saying. Wisdom is no more at work. When you bruise your conscience because of money, you say, wisdom is not at work. Because wisdom is saying, I have riches and righteousness. Riches that goes with righteousness. Hallelujah. That same wisdom said that wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. But he that gathers by honest labor shall increase. Hallelujah. And I'm out of time. Rise to your feet with a shout. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. As your feet declaring that the wisdom of God is working in you. And you're operating that wisdom mightily. You are producing results with it. Declare that you have passion for relevant knowledge. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. Can we, in 1 minute, I want us to pray. Hallelujah. I want us to pray. More or less like a declaration, but from your heart. From your heart. You see, for that picture, you know, there are pictures that are for the far future. And there are pictures, you know, these things are supposed to be happening now. Amen. You know that these things are supposed to be happening now. I'm at the verge, at the precipice of this, of the manifestation of these things. There are pictures like that. And those things coming to pass, there's a power component and there's a wisdom component. The how to go about it. The creative intelligence. The how to go about it. I want you in 1 minute, with your eyes closed, you can lift your right hand if you can and declare, Father, in the name of Jesus, I have the wisdom for this thing. You can call it to move into this next level, into the next phase. I have it. I have it now. I have it now. As I go to work, some of you already know what you are going to do next. Some of you already know what you are going to do next. Some of you already know what you are going to do next. As a component of what should happen. See, I have the required wisdom declared from your heart. Thank you, Father. The hand of the Lord is upon you. All that you require. All that you require, all that you require, all that you require, all that you require, there's a mighty supply. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Give the Lord the loudest shout of praise and hallelujah.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.